Recorded Books and RB Digital present Outbreak by Davis Bunn. Narrated by Christopher Carley. Chapter 1. Avery Madison was awakened at 11 minutes past midnight by a most unexpected phone call. The caller was someone Avery would never have anticipated speaking with. Not directly. Certainly not without an army of aides and lawyers. Just the same, Avery was woken up and ordered to leave his safe little Annapolis lab and travel here, the Atlantic coast of Africa. Avery flew through the night and most of the next day, landed in Liberia, and transferred by chopper to a research vessel leased by Bishop Industries, which was a total surprise to Avery, who took pride in knowing every aspect of his company's research program. The skipper was a white Zambian named Trevor. No last name, as far as Avery knew. Trevor wore a stained uniform and a blonde beard dappled with oily sweat. He showed neither surprise nor scorn over Avery's complete lack of knowledge regarding boats and the sea. Upon arrival, Avery went below, showered off the multiple flights, and slept for 11 hours. He woke at sunrise to a sea so flat and featureless, it looked like pounded tin. Trevor informed him they were 17 kilometers off the coast of southern Senegal, approaching the Casamance River mouth. Before his midnight conversation with Kenneth Bishop, Avery would have guessed Casamance was a steak sauce. Avery stood next to the ship's pilot and surveyed the empty vista stretching in every direction. If nowhere had a naval, it would be here. Which was when the radar technician said, "Skipper, we've got a blip." Avery's stomach had been doing swoop and dives ever since he'd boarded the research vessel. He stepped out onto the balcony rimming the pilot house and gripped the painted metal railing. Avery could not see where the placid sea ended and the horizon began. His father, the astronomer, could tell him all the reasons why the equatorial sun seemed so much bigger. Just then, though, Avery was simply glad that the air helped to calm his nervous belly. There was no way he could be seasick. The floor of his lab was less stable. But telling himself his queasiness was all mental made no difference. The skipper joined Avery on the balcony and said, "Time to suit up." Kenneth Bishop's instructions had been brief in the extreme. The head of Bishop Industries had no idea whether his worries were valid. The World Health Organization had discounted the rumors as just another West African myth. Fears about health issues were regularly overblown, as Avery well knew. When Kenneth Bishop had made official inquiries, the WHO spokesperson claimed a poorly trained field nurse had spread unfounded rumors. Then the story had merely expanded with each telling, until the illness had become a shadow monster that felled thousands. Only this time, the rumors ran in parallel with other secret reports Kenneth Bishop had received. The company's CEO had refused to give Avery any other details. He wanted Avery to go in, check things out, and report back, without having his observations clouded by factors that may or may not be true, which Bishop could not confirm. Yet. Avery followed the skipper down the narrow stairway. "Where is it?"
19 kilometers and closing.
Trevor opened the foredeck locker and pulled out a white hazmat suit and oxygen tanks in a matching white backpack.
"Is that really necessary?"
"You're the doc, but my orders were specific. You approach alone, you avoid any exposure. I bring you back healthy and in one piece."
Trevor held his arms out.
"It's your call, but if I were you, I'd suit up."
The heat rose steadily with the sun. Avery often worked in a biosecure lab and was so comfortable with hazmat suits, he could type a report in his gloves or work with fragile lab glass, no problem. But struggling into the suit's stifling confines while on a drumming boat was different. The skipper had done this many times before, so he knew to start the battery-operated AC and open the oxygen bottle's intake valve before...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?